melanated. Millennial then married black boy Joey and black girl Magic.
You wanna see us fail? Oh man, that's tragic.
Relationships and family, we gon' discuss everything.
Keep it real, no cap, boy, I put that on my wedding ring.
Melanated. Millennial then married. Melanated. Millennial then married. Melanated. Millennial then married. Melanated.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your girl, Ronette.
It's your boy, T.Y. What's poppin', y'all?
So, today, we have relationship expert, Love McPherson. I'm gonna let her introduce herself with all her accolades, but she's been on WGN. She's an author. She's been doing this for, is it 20-something years?
Yes, absolutely. Married for 37 next month. Well, in May. It'll
wow.
be 37 years. And then doing relationships, I feel like it's almost forever.
Well, congratulations.
That's amazing.
And I'm just, you know, I don't do a lot of accolades or anything like that. I just, what you said is true. I am honored to be a frequent on WGN TV. I have a Thursday relationship show on where I'm with Sonia Blakey in the morning. Relationship team, and that's on Thursdays on Inspiration 1390, and I do a lot of other things. And most of all, you can reach me as a couple or as a single or in a group for speaking as well for any type of relationship coaching, relationship counseling, relationship advice, relationship speaking. And so I'm happy to do, I do couples, I do singles. And then I do a group called The Workplace, where you can do your work in a group setting confidentially from the comfort of your own home or wherever you choose to be. So that's a lot about me.
Well, I'm trying to be like you when I grow up.
You're probably already there.
So we're just going to jump right in. Also, side note, we saw New Life Covenant logo on your website when we were looking at different things. Do you go there?
No, I actually have spoken there.
Okay.
So that's probably what you see is some of the places that I've spoken. So yes, I've definitely done New Life Covenant. I love that church.
Yes, that's the church we both attend. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep. Shout out to Pastor Hannah, y'all.
Oh my gosh, it's not like him.
Okay, so we can just jump right into it with our first question.
So, Love Ms. Pearson, the first question is, what do you think some of the most common problems that couples face now as opposed to back in the day?
That's a very good question, as opposed to back in the day. Well, some of the things that, in order to say what are the problems that are they're facing today that are unique to this day's time, you have to find out, like, what was the time about back then? What we didn't have is cell phones. What we didn't have is internet. So the technology and the onslaught of information, we were not as informational as you all. So what happens is you literally open up the world to your to the millennials, and you didn't. We were not as open to the world opinions, all of that kind of stuff. So when you have, you know, five channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, like that. And then you have, and you had news twice a day, and now you have 24-hour news. You have access to all the people. See, we had, even when we were dating, we were able to, you know, you stay in, you look up through the choir, and hopefully you can find your husband in the choir. or at school, in your classroom, or somewhere at the school, or in your neighborhood. But now you can go all across the world to find your mate. But the only other thing is it creates a buffet of choices for you all.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a buffet, it's much more difficult to go up there with a big plate and say, just choose one.
Right.
You understand?
Yep.
And so what I find is that people will pick a selection and then second guess the dish they chose.
Oh.
And so what ends up happening is you're always looking for the better dish, because if somebody comes back to the table and says, oh my God, did you taste this? You're like, oh shoot, let me put this plate aside. whether I was supposed to or not, I'll sneak and get it.
Right.
Or I will put this aside and get out of this place and go toss it to and go get another place. And so the choices that you all have leave you open to hurt people because you're always looking for the best. And what we have done in our day, maybe baby boomers and things like that, we learned that we're not perfect necessarily, but you begin to perfect that which is in you so that you could be a better mate. We didn't do it perfect. We didn't do it always right, but that's probably the biggest difference.
I love how you put that. That made it very clear and easy for people to understand.
You broke it down right there.
Definitely. Great. So going off social media and us having all of these choices, do you think that, well, you did say that social media plays a part in it, but what's appropriate to put on social media when you have a significant other and what's not appropriate?
Well, you know, what's not appropriate is that you do not sit there and voice your opinion to a crowd who has not made the investment or have the grace that you have to even be with your mate, especially when you're married. What you don't do is give everybody an opinion about the person you love. So
okay.
You don't sit there. This is the thing. Your love, when you choose your spouse, when you choose the person you're with, you have to look at their faults. And you ask yourself the question, or you should ask yourself the question, can my love cover this? Don't just look at the good part. Don't just look at how they make you feel. Because feelings come and go. It's like the weather. You know, it's going to be wintertime. It's going to be summertime. It's going to come and go. However, your choices have to be made in a relationship according to what your love can cover. Now, people have different traumas. They have different levels of tolerance. All of this. So when you take your mate and you hand them to someone who has not invested love in them, whether it is your mother, your father, your auntie, your sister, your girlfriend, your boy, your guy friend, whether you hand them even to social media for them to weigh in on your love, you set yourself up for disaster. Because what they will tell you is their own experience. What they will feed you is from their own brokenness or their own traumas or their own tolerance levels. And that's not what you need to be doing.
Exactly.
You need to control what you place on social media.
Exactly. And I tell people that all the time. I say that nobody is going to feel how you feel. And you're not going
right.
to tell people all the good, but you probably tell them all the bad. So there they have a biased opinion of your mate anyway, because you're more likely to say, oh, he did this. He messed up this way. But you're not going to say, oh, he brought me roses today, or he checked on me today. He, you know, you're going to always tell the bad, not necessarily the good. So
that's right. And this is the worst part, is when you do that to people that love you, and your parents love you, your friends may love you, so you may have the grace to understand the both sides of your mate, and you come back and get back together with them, don't feel salty when your parents are looking at them crazy
right.
at dinner, at Thanksgiving dinner, because they feel like, look how you mistreated the person I love. So what you have to do is you need to have some discipline and shut your mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had to learn it the hard way. But I do fully understand now. So, all right, so the next question is, what does a healthy relationship look like? What would you consider to be a healthy relationship?
And we ask because we, on social media, and we're going to keep going back to that because we feel like that's a big issue for relationships these days. People use the word toxic a lot and don't necessarily know what toxic means. So what does a healthy relationship look like? And then you can discuss toxic relationships.
Okay. So let me, is it okay if I do the reverse?
No,
Just tell you what toxic is and then I'll tell you about healthy, okay?
Okay.
That's fine.
When you use the word toxic, it's kind of like being in a house with mold in it. When you're living in a house with mold, you're breathing the air. You don't even realize that you're necessarily breathing the air. Whatever it is in the house, it becomes normalized. But all the time, it is hurting you, it can is even possibly killing you because of the atmosphere. It is poison in the air, whether you smell it or not, whether you experience it or not, but slowly but surely, you will see the symptoms of yourself dying, and that's toxicity. You can be in a home where your parents are an alcoholic, or you can be in a home where your parents are verbally abusive. You will be in a home where somebody is addicted or belligerent or dismissive or neglectful. You may normalize that and live there, and it may not feel comfortable all the time, but pretty soon you'll start seeing symptoms of insecurity. You'll see symptoms of neediness or anger or things like that. Those are the symptoms that you'll begin to see. In a toxic, with the mold and stuff, you may start seeing skin conditions and lung problems and things like that. So when you start talking about toxicity, what you'll find is there are long-term effects to you staying in an environment that's not conducive to what you're trying to do. Healthy relationships are those relationships where there may have been mold when you went in, but you made sure you hired somebody to come in and treat that mold. Mm. You don't just stay there and say, oh, well. So what I mean is this. We all working on something. At each stage of our lives, the marriage will expose areas of ourselves that need to grow. But you don't stay in that molded self of yours. What you do is you do the work. You go in there and you get some counseling, you get some coaching, you get some therapy, you get whatever you have to do in order to grow, to be better, clean up the toxicity, clean up the poison that you are spewing all over your family.
I think you hit that right on the head, and we talked about that a couple times, especially like we're going to counseling and trying to figure it out together before you say, oh, okay, let's just leave it alone. Well, let's just quit, yeah. You know?
And because I'm a counselor, I am a big advocate of going to counseling, because we know that our African-American people feel like counseling is for crazy people. And so I'm a big advocate of letting them know it's like going to the doctor. It's your mental health. Mental health is just as important as physical health. So
That's right. And it's very important that you realize that everybody has work. You know, I have the program called The Workplace, and people come, and sometimes it's just the wife. Sometimes it's just the husband. Sometimes it's both of them that sit on the couch together. I really don't know, because I'm not looking into their front rooms. But what I do know is there's her work, there's his work, and there's our work. Mm-hmm. And you have to do all of it. Sometimes you will come and try to do our work before you've done your work, and then you still left with some problems, because the person is trying to bring together two very broken people before they even clean up their act.
Yeah. Okay. That takes us to our next question.
So living in a world where we don't see a ton of two-parent households, or we don't see a lot of relationships even lasting, like, if you're used to seeing unhealthy relationships growing up, like, how do you break that cycle to create a healthy relationship for yourself?
That is a really good question. And here's the thing. When you start talking about relationship, sometimes people enmesh that word with love. But it's not. It's two very, very different things. Loving somebody and having a relationship with somebody are very different. You can have love for somebody, but you don't have the skills to have a relationship with somebody. Listening is a skill. Communication is a skill. Bonding is a skill. Conflict resolution are skills. And what happens is we learn skills by how people have relationship with us and how they have relationships with each other. And a lot of times, just like you said, it's very unhealthy, because maybe there was just screaming battles, or maybe there was just silent treatment, or maybe there was dismissing, or maybe there was judgment. That's how conflict was dealt with. Maybe communication was just hollering, or maybe communication was just silence. All of those are not healthy skill sets. So what you have to do in order to have a relationship, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's on your job, whether it's in with your children, you have to learn relationship skills. So you can, and help not only do you need to have the basic skills, but you also need to know the skills that are conducive to someone who with the experiences of your mate, which is why counseling is so important. Because if you are talking about learning communication skills, when, like for me, when I work with couples, I do give them the basic communication skills. I do the mirroring, the repeat after me, the, you know, that kind of stuff. Did you hear me using the I statements rather than attack statements and things like that. So I do all of those skills, but at the same time, I have to address the traumas of what they are hearing when you are talking, because we don't hear with our ears, we hear with our heart. We don't see with our eyes, we see with our heart. So you have to address the issues that are in their heart. You have to talk to the little child that's still wounded and still leading the marriage. That's in leading the communication. So there are levels of communication that have to connect in order to communicate properly. So just getting skills will help you in having a successful relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
Okay. So how do you? So we heard you talk about self-sabotaging. So how do people self-sabotage their own relationships?
What happens is self-sabotaging happens because of fear. What happens is if you fear that this relationship is going to injure you, you will self-sabotage yourself from entering into it successfully. For instance, if you were standing at a cave and you didn't know what was inside of that cave, and like at the beginning of the cave, you know, the grounding looked kind of crystally and sparkly, and the walls looked nice, but it was very, very dark. It looked like it was going to be safe, but you couldn't be sure because you couldn't see beyond just the first couple of feet. What would happen is there might be reasons why you would just make excuses not to go all the way in. You might go close, stay right there where you were safe, but not go further. You might accidentally get sick. You may accidentally hurt your foot, ankle, whatever the case may be, just to avoid going in. A lot of times in relationships, we will be on the surface of relationships, but never go into the deep. We don't go straight into the cave because we are so fearful of what went in. Because last time I went into that cave, there was a big old bear.
Right.
And he was clawing at me. There were bugs, there were snakes in there. And so because we still are traumatized by the snakes, we are still traumatized by the bears, we just assume that if we go back in there again, that's what we're going to find. When in actuality, it's a different cave and with a different experience. But if you don't get it together, you won't go back in.
Okay. I like how you give examples to everything that you're saying to make it easier for people to understand.
Thank you.
So what is your take on having single friends of the opposite sex when you're married?
Single friends of the opposite sex when you're married.
Yes.
Friendships matter when you're married. 60% of relationships are based on friendships. So if you have friends that are, even married friends, if you have married friends that are not pro-marriage, who are cheaters and serial cheaters and don't take marriage seriously and things like that, chances are you'll end up divorced when they're divorced, because actually divorce happens a lot of times in waves. You add even a greater odds when you begin to engage with single friends. And the reason why is because each person can actually secretly want what the other person has.
Yeah.
People, the truth of the matter is, married people want to get out of marriage for the same reason single people want to get into marriage. Mm. So they say, I don't want to be lonely. They're lonely in their marriage.
Oh.
Because their spouses are not communicating. They are disconnected and they don't have a relationship. They turn their back in the bed. They don't talk during the day. the kids is the only thing they have in common, and they feel lonely, and they're looking for companionship. They're not finding it with their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Single, that's a married person. A single person says, I'm alone in bed. Yeah, well, your married friend is too, even though it's a person there. And then they want somebody to wake up to and say, oh, I love you. Yeah, your married person wish they could wake up to somebody saying, I love you too.
Mm-hmm.
They want somebody to connect with and go places with. Yeah, but your married friend don't have his wife or husband with them either. So you understand, you can both be longing for something that neither experience guarantees you.
I like that. Okay. I never even thought about that.
I never thought of it like that at all, though. Like, I just always think people just see stuff and they want it. But when you married, I always thought, well, I don't know. Some people are, they do those things a different way. But I just thought some people, most people are faithful, and I know now they're not. So.
So what happens, you might covet what the other person has, thinking that your answer is singlehood, thinking your answer is marriage. And then you connect on that desire level. Do you understand? If I think marriage is my connection, I long for marriage, and you're married.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very subconscious connection, because there's a such thing, as you know, as crisis bonds. So if you're in crisis as a single or in crisis as a married person, you can bond on that crisis.
Right.
And that's a very deep dysfunctional bond.
Okay. So... you posted, I will not keep changing partners to avoid changing myself. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh, yes, I sure can. A lot of times we only think that it's the person, the opposite person, that is the problem. Sometimes you have to stop and face the fact, baby, it's you. It's you. You need help. You need to do the work. And guess what? Just because you sit there and make people disposable, you are running from people and not facing what you bring to the table and what kind of toxicity you are bringing, what kind of dysfunction and pain you are bringing. And then you think, it's somebody else. They didn't do this for me. They didn't do that for me. You are looking for external external experiences to change something that's internal within you. And what you have to do is stop blaming everybody else and stop and pause and see yourself. Allow God to reveal himself, reveal yourself to you. Part of self-love is self-awareness. And that's why the glory in counseling is because you sit and you place yourself before someone to say, hey, how can I be the best me? Going to the doctor is the same way. You place your hands in by faith in that doctor and say, hey, do a checkup on me. See if I'm okay so that I can physically reach the goals that I want. Same thing. And until you stop and pause and look at your traumas, look at what's guiding you, look at what's directing you. And it's not really direct, it's driving you. Look at what's driving you to do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Search the messages that were given to you. Search the messages that you have never gone back and redefined, the experiences that you have not redefined as an adult. You've got to go back, because otherwise you will think people are the problem when you are the problem.
And I want people to realize that this goes for friendships, not just intimate romantic relationships. Because y'all need to realize that sometimes you are the problem. You could be a counselor. You could be whoever. We have problems too. Nobody is perfect. So you have to figure out what you are doing to contribute to the toxicity that you think is just your friend or just your significant other.
That's very good. For the workplace, we started off with self-love. And then we went into friendship, because friendships is the foundation of a relationship. And a lot of times what happens is the closer you bond as a friend to your mate, the more difficult it is to separate. But also, even before you get married, the closer you are as a friend, the longer you'll stay and put up with certain things that you shouldn't, because because mm-hmm. you realize that you're going to have to separate from the friend and the mate. But what I'm saying to you is watch your patterns of how you relate in friendship, because it'll be an indicator of even how you will handle relationships.
Definitely.
Because that's one of the first places you start is in friendship. And if you're very insecure or territorial or demanding or prone to jealousy or all of those different types of things, those are red flags that you need to, you have work to do.
Definitely. So I'm going to ask you one more serious question, and then we're going to go into the not so serious questions. How does religion play a role in relationships? So for us, religion and our faith in God is the foundation of our relationship. But we know that some people don't believe in that. So what? How do you think religion or spirituality plays a role in relationships?
Well, the thing about it is, you're right. Some people do not see religion or spirituality as a component in their relationship, but everybody has values.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is your values, your core, the core of you is where your values are placed. It's your place of birth. It's your place of reproduction. So you're part of your values of your marriage is your relationship with God. And when you have those type of values in your life, what you want to do is make sure that you don't abandon them. Because when you abandon your values, when you abandon your core, you abandon who you are. And that is too great of a price to pay for any relationship, is to abandon who you are, what your purpose was to produce upon this earth, your life assignment. And so when you're talking about values with that, if somebody comes along and says, I don't see religion playing a part in a necessary part in marriage, but I still want to marry you. Well, in order to do that, you go against your values, because what you value is God,
mm-hmm.
Headship, and all the things that the Bible tells you and outlines as the description of marriage. So if that person does not see and agree with that, then what you have to do is you make a choice and say, you know what? Forget who I am. Forget my values. Let me go and adopt that person. So now you have just abandoned yourself. That's a whole nother series of counseling.
Right. A whole nother thing. So going back to social media and the debates that people have there, we have like two questions that we want you to answer from that.
Okay.
So the first one is, what do you think about women proposing to men?
I don't approve of it. That's against my value system, is proposing to men. And this is why. Because I am a traditionalist, so, you know, that's against my values. But also, I wonder why you feel you need to propose to men. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is this. If the proposal has been too slow for you, and you feel like, I need to do this because he won't, then you should be asking the question of, why won't he?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Exactly.
Is he even ready? Or are you forcing something that you want? And if that is what you're doing, then guess what? You are just, that's the beginning of you being the leader and resenting it. Because if you are the initiator of everything that major in your household, be prepared to switch the role throughout your relationship.
Exactly.
Wow. That's true.
Exactly. You're now leading everything, and you're like, okay, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do that. And he's just probably don't even want to be married, and probably just said yeah so you wouldn't be embarrassed. So
but if he said yes and didn't want to, then guess what? Be prepared possibly for passive aggressive behavior.
Yep.
Usually people, when they are forced to do something, you'll find that they have a history of maybe a controlling mother who made them do things, or a controlling father made them do things against their will. They were forced, but there is something that they have set up in their life where they will come back and do something that you don't like. And either it can be as extreme as an affair, or as shallow as I'm late or I forgot. Oh, I thought, why didn't you get to go find that? I forgot. Frustrate you. Why? Because they're taking their power back.
Right.
And so that's passive aggressive, forgetful, extreme forgetfulness is I didn't want to do it. So I just forget it. I brush it off. Then what do you feel? You feel I'm not important. But they didn't feel important. But that can be an easy way out. Not all extreme forgetfulness is passive aggressive. Some of it is all that. But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying. Just watch how things are set up, where the things that you really, really want seem to be sabotaged in some form because of the passive aggressive behavior. Because why? Because you keep pushing that person into doing something that they don't want to do. And they've learned some kind of coping skills to deal with that. I trust me on that one.
Yeah.
So that leads me into, what do you think about the debate that's constantly had about men paying all the bills the traditional way, the way it used to be done back when, or women going 50-50 on everything?
Well, what I feel about that is that the way that the economy is set up in America, there are only about 26% of the people who can act, of the men, who have the finances to pay all the bills. And so financially, it's very difficult. If, in fact, you want the man to pay all the bills, and then the first thing is you should find somebody who, before you get married, if somebody say before you get married, because I thought I said before you get married. I might have said before you get married. I think I said after you get married. So before you get married, you discuss your finances. You understand your debts. And if that person says, this is very important to me, that I pay all the bills and that I do this, then guess what? You are in line with your value system and you continue to move forward. If your alignment is that, no, my daddy paid all the bills, or I believe a man should pay all the bills and stuff, guess what? That minimum wage brother that you about to marry, he ain't the one. And so unless you are willing to live a certain class and style, that means you ain't getting your hair done and nails done all the time, unless you're going over to your girlfriend out and you're going to get your hair washed in her sink. And so what I say to you is that you have to understand there are sacrifices to everything. For instance, my husband and I, when we got married, two-person income. When 5 years later, we decided to have our first child. We did. But I wanted to stay home with my child for the first couple of years of their life, just so that they wouldn't have to go into daycare. I did. My husband worked two jobs in order to do that. During that time, I didn't do a lot of shopping. I wasn't spending like I used to. I had to cook more often in order to supplement for that particular lifestyle that I had chosen. There were things I wanted. There were places I wanted to go. There were vacations that I wanted to take. I could not do any of those because my higher value was to be at home with my children. So I had to make sacrifices in order to accommodate the decision that my husband and I mutually decided on of me not working for that. And then I went back to work. And so if you're wanting all and placing undue burdens on a man because he is a man, then first of all, that's a red flag that the man should see. Mm-hmm. That means that person is inconsiderate. They are not considering you. And if you are going to demand that he pay all the bills and then fuss about a situation you knew that was going to be ahead and then badger him for as you look at social media and see somebody else's husband doing it, and then they're taking trips that you can't afford, and so now you're putting them down as a low wager and all this other stuff. You knew what you got when you got it.
Exactly.
Okay? And success is not a resource situation. It's a mindset situation. Please know that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter about what you know. It doesn't matter about the skills you can acquire. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with your mindset. mindset. If you only see yourself going so far, no matter who has resources, connections, and everything to everybody, you will only go as far as you, the vision in your head that you think you can go.
Yep. I completely agree. And going back again, social media, y'all need to stop comparing your lives to other people and trying to keep up with the Joneses. You're not going to see me in Louis Vuittons because I can't afford them, and I'm not going to try to.
And I ain't going
to
buy them.
And, you know what? And here's the thing. We have to understand, and I think that's probably the wisdom that sometimes millennials lack, is they don't see that there are stages of your life that you have to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, as I'm talking to you and I sit in my home, I sit on the 21st floor in a condo and my view is the lakefront, unobstructed view of a lakefront. You know what? When I was your age raising kids, I was busy trying to, my husband and I developing codes so that the bill collector couldn't reach us. There was no caller ID. I could have literally mouth kissed the person who made caller ID. We had code. The bill collector would pick up the phone, Mr. Vector or whatever, whoever they're calling for. And so we had the code where you call, if you're at work, you call home, you hang up once, and then the second time that you call right back to back, I'll pick it up because I'll know it's you.
Wow.
And so that's how I was able to receive my husband's phone call until we got our finances in order.
Mm-hmm.
That was the stage of our life. We wanted a luxury car, but we were not in the stage of a luxury car. We had to get a minivan because that's what we needed to transport our children and our children's friends back and forth to homeschool to school and to, we did homeschool. I did homeschool as well. But back and forth to different activities and things like that. And, you know, so there are stages in your life that you can graduate to. When my kids were finally old enough where we could actually vacation in the Caribbean rather than at Disney World, nobody was happier than me. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I had to wait on that until I could make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't despise the stages of your life and don't buck the stages of your life. Make sure you understand them, you operate within them, and don't make life difficult for you financially, because finances is one of the top four reasons for divorce.
Yep.
Stay and live within your means and know that that later on through life, as you continue to live, you'll continue to grow, continue to sow, continue to allow God to bless you. And some top people will reach that peak earlier than others, but just know, if you continue God's way, you'll reach it.
Shout out to God, because he truly blesses us, okay?
Every day.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to get into a little game before we end called the Melanated Minute. And
the what? What is it called again?
The Melanated Minute.
Okay.
So we're basically going to ask you a couple of things, your preference on, you know, just some black culture stuff. So we're going to say either or.
Am I supposed to answer within a couple of
Yes, couple of seconds.
Okay.
Couple of seconds. We're going to say either or. You just answer it, whatever comes to mind.
Gotcha.
Your preference. So, Martin and Gina or Cliff and Claire?
Cliff and Claire, yeah.
I knew he was going to pick that one. Cedric or LaVita? Cedric and LaVita or Stefan and Laura?
Stefan and Laura?
Uh-huh.
And probably that goes back to generation gap. I don't even know any of those four people. So
Cedric and LaVita from the Steve Harvey Show. You know Steve Harvey Show? No,
yes, I do. Oh yeah. Cedric and LaVita. Yeah.
And then Stefan and Laura are from Family Matters.
Oh, give me the first ones. Yes,
Cedric and LaVita. Okay, A Different World or Different Strokes?
Okay. A Different World.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. Living Single or The Jamie Foxx Show?
I enjoyed Living Single.
I did too. Okay. Fresh Prince or Martin?
Ooh, that one is difficult. Mm-hmm. But I'm going with the Fresh Prince.
Oh,
that was tough.
Oh man, that's hard. That was difficult. But I love wishing back in those days that I lived like the Fresh Prince, uncle.
Right. Everybody wanted to be Uncle Phil.
Yeah, that was like hashtag goals.
All right, this one hard too. Okay, Denzel Washington or Will Smith?
Denzel, that wasn't hard.
What? Wow. I don't know. I think I gotta go with Will after seeing 7 Pounds.
I know.
I gotta go with Will. Okay, the Jeffersons or Good Times?
Say that again.
The Jeffersons or Good Times?
Ooh, you know what? Since I done moved on up, I think you know where I'm going. Well, you're moving on up. I got that doorman downstairs. Yup. Jefferson's
goals again. Definitely. Definitely George's goals and Weezy. So, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. How can people reach you if they want to have relationship or individual counseling or group counseling? How can they reach you?
They can reach me on my website and on all of my social media handles. So the website is lovemcpherson.com. That you can schedule me for events, you can schedule me for speaking engagements, and for individual sessions and couple sessions. You can also reach me for the group that I do, which is The Workplace, Do the Work. The website address is www.dothework.com/today, not tomorrow, today. today. Do the work, not today. And then on social media platforms, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those places. And there you can reach me at love_McPherson or Love McPherson. Anywhere, Love McPherson. That's where you'll reach me on social media.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on. We really enjoyed you. I got a lot from everything that you were saying. I hope she got a lot from everything you were saying too.
you know, counselors kind of hard here. So.
See, it has absolutely been my pleasure. You all keep doing what you're doing. Keep encouraging couples. We're all in this together. We all have a purpose. We all have a plan to make sure that we don't let the brand of marriage die and go to waste, okay?
Yes.
Keep doing what you all are doing. Be encouraged and make sure that what you are doing, you are blessing generations and sowing into your own generations for many years to come.
Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bye-bye, you all.
Bye. You have a great day.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right, y'all. So, y'all heard it from the relationship expert herself.
That was deep, man.
It was. And I hope it helped y'all. It helped us. Because nobody's relationship is perfect.
I hope it helped you. Jesus.
You know what? Whatever. I will say, y'all, that when I be mad, I don't want to talk. Like, I just don't talk to me. Give me a minute.
Nah.
But I understand that that's not healthy. We already know that. We talked about that before on here. So, whatever.
But thank y'all for listening. I hope y'all enjoyed it again and took something from all of this because it was well needed. I think it's well needed for a lot of people, man. Like, if you contemplating marriage or contemplating divorce or just trying to get it together for yourself, like, this is something that you should look into. Love McPherson is an amazing person. Follow her on IG. I follow her on IG. She's always doing something and posting something inspirational. So, again, if this is something that y'all looking to do for yourself, I think go ahead and talk to her. Any question you got for us, you can let us know as well. Y'all know where to find us.
Definitely. And you have been listening to Melanated, Millennial, and Married.
Talk to y'all later. Peace.